81. The man was standing next to the entertainment center. Nate realized he was examining the DVD collection. His hand was out and he was inching a case out as a place marker. He had black hair, cut conservative short, with a bit of gray streaked through it, but not enough to look old. His nose was a little large, his eyes a little small, but neither enough to stand out. He was the same height as Nate, just under 6 feet tall, and had a body that showed enough time in the gym to keep off the pounds. The kind of guy who would blend effortlessly into any crowd if not for his sharp suit.
"Hello, Nate," said the man. "I figured it was time we had a talk. Rent's almost due, after all."
"Who are you?"
The man gestured at the entertainment center.
"You're old enough to remember before DVDs, right? Back when you'd visit someone and learn about them by what was on their bookshelves? Don't get me wrong, I love my movies, but it's harder to get a good grasp of somebody with them. Movie tastes always seem a bit random." His mouth formed a tight, professional smile. "You've got 17 of the same ones I do."
"I asked who you are," Nate said. He tried to sound confident.
"We're on the same side," said the man. "That's probably the most important thing right now, isn't it? After the month you've had, I bet you're not too keen on trusting strangers right now, are you?"
"Not particularly."
"If it helps, the FBI has arrested all the top members of the family and most of the congregation's been detained for questioning. The ones that aren't being locked up forever are heading for years of federally funded therapy."
"Really?"
The man nodded.
"So, who are you?"
He put up a hand and shook his head. "Let's not complicate things with names. Speaking of which, is it okay if I call you Nate? Overt familiarity's a curse of the job. Would you be more comfortable with Nathan? Mr. Tucker, maybe?"
"Nate's fine."
"Great."
He took a long look at Nate.
"You know, I've got to be honest, part of me has been dreading this."
"Dreading what?"
"You," said the man. "I've been dreading the day I had to meet you. I've been waiting years for it, but now that it's here..."
He shook his head and then gave a shrug. "You've been waiting for me?"
"Well, not you, specifically, if you'll pardon the melodrama. I knew this day was going to come, and I knew I'd be having this conversation with someone. I'm glad it's you, Nate."
A moment stretched out between them. "You're lock management," said Nate. "You're who puts out the ads and hires the actresses and all that."
"Guilty as charged."
"You decide who lives here."
He gave another calm nod.
"So you're, what, some government agency that protects the building?"
The man in the suit shook his head. "I never said I was with the government."
"You're not?"
"For the record, I haven't said that either. Really, I could just be another actor, hired to play a role."
His mouth formed a pleasant smile that felt sincere but also a bit too practiced for Nate's liking.
"Besides, it's not like the building needs much protecting, is it? Not with folks like you living here."
"People died here," snapped Nate. A wave of frustration washed over him. "Fuck! People have been dying here since this place was built, because of this place."
"Yes," said the man. "They have. A lot more than you probably know about."
"Why haven't you studied it? If you had some kind of backup building or something, or if people knew about it, none of this ever would have happened."
"We've tried to study it," said the man, "and we've managed to copy some elements. That's why you've got a room full of replacement parts downstairs. There are light bulbs, too, if you want to swap out the ones in the tunnels."
"But that's nothing," said Nate. "It's minor stuff. That's like trying to copy an airplane and coming away with how to make tires."
The man put up his hands. "It's the best we can do. You can't examine an airplane in mid-flight, especially the engine."
"The right people could."
"They probably could," the man agreed. "There are some electronic and mechanical geniuses out there. The problem is recruiting them. I'm sure you'll agree we have good reason to keep this building as secret as possible."
Nate bit his lip and looked over at the wall where Alexander Kotorovich had spent some of the last minutes of his life making sure the world stayed safe.
"I know it doesn't mean much," the man said, "but I'm sorry for your losses. I understand you and Tim Farr had become friends.
We were. What's going to happen to him? Officially?
There'll be a funeral. Closed casket, full military honors. You can attend, if you like. He doesn't have any next of kin.
I'll take care of his stuff.
It's already taken care of, said the man.
He hooked his thumbs on his pockets.
Nate, let's stop beating around the bush. You're not in handcuffs. We're talking alone like civilized gentlemen. You know what this meeting's about.
Nate found Veek waiting for him in the lobby.
Hey, she said. I was just about to come looking for you.
Sorry.
Roger was serious. They all headed over a couple of minutes ago. Debbie said they'd save us some egg rolls. I told her to order chicken pot thai for us if we missed the waiter.
He nodded. Good.
She tilted her head at him.
You okay, Shaggy?
Nate reached out and took her hand.
I just got a job.
Veek blinked.
Just now?
Yeah.
Did someone call you or something?
He shook his head. The man in the suit came down the staircase, speaking quietly into a cell phone. He paused to nod at Nate, and before she knew he was doing it, he shook Veek's hand.
Miss Vishwanath, he said. Pleasure to meet you in person. For the record, my money was on you from the start, but I'm glad we'll still have you on the team.
He was out the door before she could respond.
What was that all about?
She asked Nate.
I'm the new building manager.
Her jaw dropped.
What?
He led her back up the curving stairs. The only catch is they want me to be more active than Oscar was. They're hoping I can learn more about the building and maybe fill in some of the holes in their records.
They have records?
Asked Veek. Yep, they're giving me copies of all their files so my staff and I can be up to date.
Your staff?
He squeezed her hand and guided her down the hall to apartment 12. There was a gleaming brass sign next to the door. It fit the Kavach building's classic style. Nathan Tucker, manager. She smiled.
So I'm on your staff, is that what you're saying?
If you want to be.
Are there rules about office relationships?
We could make some up and then break them.
Cool.
She kissed him.
I think I could be up for this. How many files are we talking about?
Well, he said, let's check it out. He turned the knob and opened the door of his new apartment.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of 14 by Peter Kleins. Copyright 2012 by Peter Kleins and Permuted Press. Performed by Ray Porter. Copyright in the audio recording 2012 by Audible Incorporated. All rights reserved. Published by Brilliance Audio. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. And please visit Audible at www.audible.com to discover over 50,000 titles available for download to the Apple iPod, BlackBerry, and hundreds of other MP3 players and mobile devices. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.